Hey everyone, it's your host of See Jurassic Right, Stephen Ray Morris here, just dropping in to say I hope you've been enjoying all the new episodes in 2023 and 2024 so far. There are new interviews with filmmakers, musicians, scientists, the screenwriter of Land Before Time, audio essays about the rich history of the Jurassic Park and Jurassic World franchise, and all the news about the upcoming animated show Jurassic World Chaos Theory, and the as-of-yet-untitled Jurassic World sequel coming next summer. I really need your help supporting the show right now, and you can do that by leaving a tip and or giving a monthly follow on Patreon, patreon.com/seejurassicright. There are $1 and $5 tiers, but more is coming. Sharing the show, giving 5-star reviews in Apple Podcasts, and liking and commenting on social, at Stephen Ray Morris on Instagram and Twitter, goes a long way to help boosting the show's visibility again online in this new era. I'm an independent podcaster, and your support is so important and means the world to me in keeping this podcast running. Link to the Patreon is in the show notes. Hold on to your butts. Thank you, and now on to the show.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ooh, I haven't done one of these in a while. Hello, happy Halloween, everybody. It's Carnosaur 2. I mean, I'm not Carnosaur 2.
This is Carnosaur 3.
That's Carnosaur 4 and 5.
Cheers.
It's your host, Stephen Ray Morris. This is See Jurassic Right, Cinematic Attractions. It's been a minute since we've done any of these segments, but I figure we come back for Halloween. We watch, I don't know if this movie is scary at all or tense or anything in the slightest.
It was bloody.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm just going to interview my guest and introduce my guest, talented filmmaker, comedian, storyteller, Luce Tomlin-Brenner.
Hello.
You know her, you love her. Brenna White, a.k.a. Bonnie Puns, a.k.a. Bixels, funniest lady on the internet.
No.
And funniest lady who's a chef, talented songwriter, storyteller, performer, raconteur, Chris Bramante.
Hey.
Of Robot Teammate.
Hello, hello.
The accidental party.
You know what? It's we don't say it much, but we're down. I'm happy that you included the accidental party.
Because I'm always like Robot Teammate. Like, that's just in my head.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
Shout out teammate. Hashtag Miles, the tour guide. Yeah. We're just going to shout him out on this episode, too.
Perfect. Yeah.
Hi, Miles.
We're here. It's Halloween. I love Luce. You're wearing spooky ooky.
I'm wearing skeleton leggings, and I'm wearing a Stranger Danger t-shirt. So that I'm half scary and half a helpful warning.
Yes, I love it.
Make sure you check your candy tonight, kiddos.
Oh, yeah. Check out for those. Right. Even though the only kids who died were somebody neighbors. Who just killed their own children and used it under the guise of Halloween. Listen to that My Favorite Murder episode.
Yeah, it's really good. My mom really believed in that, though. So she had to, like, carefully check each and every piece of candy my entire life.
Don't eat the homemade house. Rice Krispie treats.
No, and you know what? I had to throw out a candied apple that a neighbor made once, and it felt so bad.
Very suspicious of them to make those.
It was like an old woman, though. She witch. Was like, yeah, it was an old witch. They were cursed for sure.
But we were very lucky because I felt like that second wave never really hit our generation because we were of Halloween. I mean, we're Halloween forever. I think that's the thing we can say of all right. four of us.
Of course.
But I feel like in the 90s, that was kind of over that. Like, our parents were like, yeah, none of your older cousins died in the 80s because of razor blades.
Yeah, I mean, I was in the 90s. My parents were like, yeah, it could happen at any moment. My mom thought would feed me a razor blade at any time, though. It really wasn't just Halloween. It was like
at lunch.
Yeah, yeah. Like, don't take lunch. Food from anybody, basically. Yeah. So
not even me.
Once somebody sent me stickers and she had read some sort of social panic thing somewhere where like
licking stickers
and had acid on it. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Is it because of the Seinfeld episode?
I get nervous about
the licking of the envelope.
Envelopes. Yeah. I get nervous about envelopes to this day.
I recently got nervous about an envelope. My rent check envelope. It like seemed like it had been licked before, and I'm like, well, my rent is due. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Just the idea that you could be making out with someone you don't know through an envelope.
But also, I'm like, possibly this could be poison.
Yeah. But look,
it's not my wedding will never happen.
And why not just, you know, use a piece of scotch tape?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Or better yet, fold it inside so that the person receiving the envelope can use the envelope again.
Oh my God.
Waste not, want not.
Thank you.
How did we get here?
Well, I was going to say.
Well, you know, Halloween advice.
Oh, yes.
Save your envelopes.
I don't think that the kid in this movie had any of those kind of normal woes. I mean, if you grow up on a nuclear bunker waste facility, I don't think your parents are getting. Well, I mean, his parents were dead. It was his uncle, which we learned way too late in the movie.
Yeah, definitely. You assumed he was his dad the entire time until once he was like, my uncle. Cool establishment.
Yeah. Well, let's give a little bit of background before. So we've already done Carnosaur. That was Brenna, Chris, and our friend Courtney. We watched Carnosaur. You did not see Carnosaur before this, which I had assumed maybe you had already seen it because you are a horror expert.
Thank you. I love horror and I love Roger Corman and I love dinosaurs, but I actually remember growing up and seeing these on the shelf at my local video store and they were rated R, so I was like never allowed to get them. And then by the time I grew up, I kind of forgot about them.
That's kind of because I didn't watch Roger Corman movies growing up, but I definitely felt like you'd think as a Jurassic Park fan, I would have watch these at some point, but
yeah, definitely.
I honestly didn't see Carnosaur, and I think the first time was when we saw it together for the movie.
Yes, I think that was your first time as well.
So, but you had never had you heard of this movie? You'd heard of this, right? Carnosaur,
not
at all. I don't think it made it to the shelves of Allied Video in New Hampshire.
The thing that blows my mind about it is that Laura Dern's mother, Diane Ladd, is that right?
Was in the original.
Was in Carnosaur, the one that we did last year, and that movie came out at the same time as Jurassic Park.
Month before,
and
which is insane.
We watched this whole thing where Roger Corman was like, you know, Jurassic Park, whatever. Well, I mean, I'm not saying that they stole her idea, but I'm not saying that. This is not a verbatim quote, but it's sort of what he was saying.
Yeah,
it's sort of what he was
sent
implying.
Luce sent it to us, and it was such a fun little video.
A news clip from the early 90s where he was like, yeah, we wrote this script before Jurassic Park came out.
Wait, and then who was the...
But like, Michael Crichton wrote the book like way before the
book was 1990, but technically the Carnosaur book had been written before Jurassic Park.
Oh, there's a
Park.
Carnosaur book.
There's a book, and I don't think we talked about this actually on that episode.
We did not.
Ooh, that's a twist.
But
I know, this is new information.
This is a full twist here.
Everything.
But the original Carnosaur book is about like an Englishman who has brought back dinosaurs for like sport and fun, and it's like a village is like, why are these dinosaurs here? But like, right, and the deal basically like
the village people.
The village people. But basically, like, because I think they knew Michael Crichton was writing a book and somebody had told the author and his wife like, oh, dinosaur like stuff is going to be huge in a few years. Mm-hmm. So they made the book, and then essentially I think either Roger Corman or Adam Simon, who directed Carnosaur, like convinced the author to sign over the rights, and like they did the deal on like a napkin or something like that.
So it has like nothing in common with the book.
No. And it was one of those ideas where basically back in the day it was like, thanks for the rights. And then the author never heard from them again until the movie came out.
Goodbye.
And the original Carnosaur premiered a week or a month before Jurassic Park in Ogden, Utah.
At the Wilshire Theater in Ogden, Utah, because there was a dinosaur park, which is still open, which is like
we didn't go to when we were in Salt Lake City.
Is
it a creationist park?
No, not at all. No, wow. they're extremely pro dinosaur in Utah because
I didn't know that.
There's a Utah raptor. There's a lot of dinosaur discovery that's happened in Utah.
Oh, Moab. Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
In Moab,
yeah,
in southern Utah.
I was given a tour of dinosaur bones by Omar's brother Amir.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's right. You have to tell me that. Like, we'll have to do this whole story on a podcast sometime.
So they had just opened this dinosaur park, which is like acres of like dinosaur replicas. Sorry. Wow.
Oh, neat.
Replicas.
You can check it out.
Lots of replicas.
So in conjunction with the opening of that park, they were like, we're going to air this movie, Carnosaur 2, which is, Carnosaur 2, no, Carnosaur, the original.
Which,
sorry.
No, but it was like, we thought it was
OG.
The OG
Carnosaur. Sorry, guys.
But we thought it was funny because this dinosaur park, because we went to the Natural History Museum of Utah, which is beautiful, modern, beautiful structure, lots of great lines, you know?
A beautiful view of like the Great Salt Lake and the Uinta Mountains.
Yeah, but this...
And are the ochres? Shit. Someone's going to yell at me.
But this dinosaur park was more for like kids. So they do like full models outside and you can walk around and take cool pictures of the dinosaurs. They're like rated R terrifying movie premiere at a thing that like is meant for children.
Like very wholesome.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is the original Carnosaur, the budget was $850,000.
Wow.
$850,000. Whereas Jurassic Park's budget was $63 million.
Yeah.
And they basically were like, we're going to compete with this movie and race to finish it before Jurassic Park. What do you think those dinner conversations? Hey, mom, how's Carnosaur going?
Yeah.
Hey, daughter, how's Jurassic Park going? And other fun fact that we might have mentioned on the last episode, Clint Howard, Bryce Dallas Howard's uncle, was in the original Carnosaur as well. So there's all these kind of Jurassic connections.
I love that. I wonder if
the
Laura
Ochre
Dern,
Mountains I was thinking of. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I wonder if Laura Dern went to Carnosaur's opening.
She's like, I can't do this. It's bad for business.
Maybe she did. She's like, I love you, mom. Like, of course I'll come see your little dinosaur movie.
Oh, no.
I don't even think that Diane Ladd went to the Carnosaur premiere.
No, I think out of the like 15 or 18 day filming day, I think Diane Ladd was there for like 3 days. Mm. And you haven't seen Carnosaur yet. I would highly suggest now that you've seen Carnosaur 2, I think you will actually really get a kick out of Carnosaur a lot more.
Well, Carnosaur feels almost like a 70s sci-fi movie to me now after watching Carnosaur 2. Like even just like the overall look, like everything's very dark, like the way people interact with each other, that's like, let's make a deal, Tom.
Yeah, well, that's definitely Roger Corman's background. Like he's most famous for Piranha and Humanoids from the Deep and Death Race 2000.
Yeah,
so.
And this movie feels much more like 90s.
It feels like it feels like The Matrix, but dinosaurs.
Not as good.
Like The Matrix Underground.
You know what I was also thinking when I was watching it? Like, you know what? This is basically The Matrix.
Really?
As you're thinking good that? As. Just, no, I wasn't at all.
No.
Sorry.
It's just all the leather. Everyone's wearing like a lot of coats, long coats in the desert.
Well, yeah. So
there's trench coats. Sorry.
We don't need to recap the whole movie because that would take, like, I feel like we'd be giving the movie more time than it's necessary.
Yeah, I think we can wrap it pretty quickly, actually.
Yeah, but I will say a few facts up front just so people have a little bit of context. Thanks, Penny, for eating right when we started podcasting.
Penny Lane, enjoying her dinner quite nearby.
This isn't the Purrcast, Penny Lane.
Crossover.
Yeah, it's crossover. So when we say Roger Corman, this was produced by Roger Corman, but I feel like it's just...
He didn't actually direct it.
It's almost like... I almost get the sense that Roger Corman has this, like... awesome, like cool warehouse, probably the warehouse where they filmed this.
Yeah, this is probably his total studio.
And he's just like, who wants to direct this one?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because this was a direct, unlike the original, which opened in theaters, this was direct to video or direct to TV. And it was directed by Louis Morneau.
Louis Morneau.
Who's famous, thank you for Frenchifying, making his name, not Frenchifying his name, giving his name his proper due.
Guy Fieri.
It's directed by Louis Morneau, and he directed, I don't know if any of you have seen 1999's Bats.
Yes, I have seen 1999's Bats.
I haven't seen it. I just seen it on the video store shelf.
It was a horror movie with bats. The villains were bats. Yeah.
And there's like a scene of them like swimming.
I saw
it
in theaters. Yeah.
So I have a fun theater story of seeing Bats. It stars Lou Diamond Phillips.
Okay.
He's the cop who's got
diamond.
He's got to come and investigate. You know what's going on in this town with the bats.
LGP.
I saw that movie at the movie theater. I saw all the Jurassic movies except for Jurassic World. And my best friend and I at the time, we went to this movie theater. It was a Friday, you know, you get dropped off at the movie theater, all that stuff. It was a late Friday, or it was a late afternoon Friday. You think opening weekend of Bats, it's going to be this huge, great horror movie.
Yeah.
We were half the audience.
Wow.
So it was four people was in the theater watching Bats.
Bats.
Didn't it look like, wasn't it like the lettering on the poster looked like stab because it was like bats backwards and
it was there was like a mirror imagery thing going on.
And I mean like stab. Oh, bats. Oh, wait. Stabbing bats or
bats be stabbing, you know? Right?
They're not a stabby animal. They're like
they stab
a bitey
with their teeth.
Okay.
That's a bite.
They pierce your ears.
Yeah. But
they have ear piercing set up in the middle of a mall.
But with I want to run through the cast really quickly, just so we know what's up. Just, we got our John Savage, who's our, oh, you had the best, Luce had the best. He is hot with sorrow.
Yes.
Because he's our hero sorrow. With a tragic backstory. You see at the opening, you see the locker with the image of his family, but
all dead,
you know, all dead.
But like, he immediately sets the scene by just driving into an open parking lot and not parking in any parking space. He just drives into a lot. Stops his car and like
stops his Jeep
because that's how he's preoccupied with his sadness. You
yeah,
know?
Exactly.
He,
doesn't have
time to he rubs a can of beer all over his face, like an empty beer can.
All right. Well, so here's the fun fact about this movie, because I told you there was a few facts.
This was the fun one. There's other facts.
The other
this
facts is the are brutal. Fact. They're really difficult to listen to.
So John Savage, the actor who played Jack Reed, if you even know his name.
Nobody said any names.
I don't remember any of the characters' names except for Nessie.
That's I remember John Savage very well, as I muttered while we were watching it, as he is Donald Lidecker from the 2-season-long James Cameron produced series Dark Angel, starring Jessica Alba, which everyone should watch.
Yes, you did mutter that a few times.
I kind of kept bringing
like, you're
it
like
up.
Dark Angel.
It was a fun series. I grew up watching the two. But fun fact, John Savage said in interviews that he was drunk the entire time he was filming this movie. So yes, now think was. In your head
perfect
all the scenes of it, because he's very like sweet in this movie almost, and you're like, oh, I get it, because you're drunk and you're just like
right. I'm also sorry.
I
so
love
sweaty.
You man,
he's like a girl running into you in the bathroom being like, oh my god, you look so cute. Oh, like touches your hair and cups your face and you're like, oh god, did she wash her hands?
Yeah, he is the most like emotionally present in the entire movie in a way, while at the same time being haunted, you know.
Yeah, very haunted. I actually feel like he has a method acting going on here.
Yeah,
he's
because
like
that character
to tap into my sadness. I'm going to be drunk the whole time we shoot this.
Right. Yeah,
and as that man, yeah,
like of the characters, I feel like he's like the least ego driven of all. Like, I feel like there's no ego. In fact,
no, he's a great. He's actually a decent lead at the end of the day.
He sacrifices himself. He really fights for everybody, even though almost everyone sucks.
Yeah, I mean, especially. We have Cliff DeYoung, who gave an Oscar. I can't do hand quotes when my hands are full, but he's like the Paul Reiser of this movie. He's the corporate
the
stooge.
Guy in taupe.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So he plays the dad in The Craft.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Oh, that's what no you're way. Mm-hmm. That's hilarious.
But yeah, he's the corporate stooge of this movie. Who's like, you know, it's like it's above your pay grade and like it's classified. He's just
he says
there.
It's classified so many times.
It's honestly we should have taken a shot every time. And then everyone else kind of, I mean, we have our favorite evac pilot with the great Bob, who gets killed too soon.
A lady.
Yeah, the second the only other lady in the movie.
Two ladies, one lady with short hair, one lady with long hair.
Yes. Right. We have the Ripley ripoff and the Linda Hamilton ripoff.
Yes.
Yeah, Sarah Rollins.
Base is covered.
And then Ioana Mann.
Oh yeah, well his name was what was his name? Oh, Moses. Miguel Nunez Jr.
Yes,
yeah. From Ioana Mann.
Who again gets killed way too soon.
He was like providing some comedic relief.
Well, of course, cause he was like the black man. So like, as soon as he was on screen, he went, "You're full of shit." Like he just like,
and he's like, "What you been smoking, boy?"
Yeah, yeah, like he kept like, immediately that was, like, those was are his so lines that they gave him. Sassy, and then got murdered. And then at the very end of the movie, there was another black man who instantly got eaten.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
It just felt so on the nose.
I know, because all the other guys were just like white guys,
and they all looked the same. Well, remember, we had like corporate, shaggy
corporate,
hair, sad shaggy hair, and asshole shaggy
and
hair.
And asshole shaggy hair. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, I think as far as like describing the plot. Basically dinosaurs, and what was the line in the movie that our knockoff Ian Malcolm said? He said, they got nukes here and dinosaurs. This shit's perfect.
Yeah.
And so for our listeners, the plot of this movie is aliens. It essentially is aliens. There's a facility. Our young boy Jesse is the Newt character. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the one who saw what went down. They basically have to, they find out that the dinosaurs are there.
It's a nuclear facility.
There's nukes there.
In the desert.
And the nukes in the desert, and they have to kill the dinosaurs, but they're going to nuke it from orbit, blah, blah, blah. They nuke it from orbit, the end. Like, that's basically the movie.
But there's, like, all raptors and then one giant T-Rex.
Yeah.
So carnosaur, right?
Well, so there's...
He's the carnosaur, yeah.
Well,
are
I
they
mean,
all carnosaurs that eat meat?
Well, I think in they don't say they're just kind of like generic meat eating dinosaurs, little guys and tall and a tall boy.
The tall boy, I guess, wasn't a Carnosaur. You're right. It's just like, it just looked like a T-Rex.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. So
Carnosaur is not a real name, is it?
No, the Carnosaur is not a real dinosaur.
Oh, it's just like saying carnivore and dinosaur. Yeah.
Wait, did we go over the fact that now that we've seen two Carnosaur films that we could kind of self-declare as Carnosaur or Connoisseurs?
Oh, stop. This is over. Thank you for listening.
Well, okay, so we got the plot out of the way. I mean, really, what did you guys think? Like,
I hated this movie.
It was not good. I didn't understand what was happening most of the time. I didn't know any of the characters' names. The person that got the most screen time was the poor man's Ian Malcolm, who, like, when he first comes on screen, he's like, well, my phone was ringing, and like, and I thought it was my wife, but I was having sex with another girl, my girlfriend. And it's like, he's like so overtly like sexually harassy, but also has like the perm of Ian Malcolm. He has like the same like hairstyle. And so it's like, because Jurassic Park had already come out at this point, they were like, oh, you know, we can like have a central character that's like him, but
he looks like Huey Lewis mixed with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mixed with Thomas Hayden Church.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, this movie was 95. It came out February before Congo came out. So it's a little context, but
it had a little bit of Congo vibes to it.
But it's, you know,
people in danger.
Yeah. I mean, look, the
coming
sets,
together to try to overcome a problem.
Yeah.
The sets in this movie are very cool. Like,
yeah.
if this whole entire movie were a haunted house and there were dinosaurs coming out, like, it would be very scary.
It looks exactly like a haunted house. It's like, just the corrugated metal.
Yes.
Like, it's long hallways.
Pipes.
And they just keep
elevators.
Lots of pipes.
Steam,
lots of dripping.
Dripping. Lots of dripping.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, so
and flashing lights. And that's it for the 82 minutes.
And then guys in dinosaur costumes chasing you down the hall.
Yeah, definitely the dinosaurs are costumed people. I liked the dinosaurs, though. They were really bloody.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. They were very gory.
In that piece, which I don't think I mentioned when we talked about earlier, that you sent us, that was actually included on the original Carnosaur Laserdisc. And was it Connie Chung was like,
I think
saying
so,
that Carnosaur was a better movie than Jurassic
that
Park?
That it had more going for it because it was like a dirt, it was gorier. Well, they had this whole checklist.
I have the chart available. Let me pull
it. It was like kids in peril, like action.
There was one kid in peril.
Dirtier. And the last one was scummy teeth. And they're like, oh, well, Carnosaur has scummier teeth.
As opposed to these, like, Jurassic Park dinosaurs that have been, like, perfectly dentist
Number one,
attended.
Kids in danger. Jurassic Park got the
point
check
goes
mark.
To Jurassic Park.
Attacks out of nowhere.
Okay, well, let's, because these are points for the original Carnosaur, but let's see if Carnosaur 2 gets those points. So, kids in peril.
Jesse was a kid.
He was a real kid.
And maybe the kid at the beginning.
That kid is dead.
That kid
was super in danger.
For attacks out of nowhere. I think Carnosaur 2.
Yeah, because there's so many moments where somebody just turns a corner and then it has the narrow vertical. Mm-hmm. They just squeeze the lens
moments.
And it's just like, whoa!
My favorite part was that everywhere a person went, there was a dinosaur.
Yes.
But
for no reason.
So that checks off human consumption, number three.
Yes.
I would say the body count's pretty big in this movie.
The body count's big, but...
Yeah, all of our original cast dies except for two people.
There are several just like decapitations. The dinosaurs weren't hungry. They were, what were you saying?
Just violent?
Yes.
Yeah, like they are just out to create chaos. They decapitate every person.
Chaos.
They bite off the head and then spit it out. Which
four,
I love.
Number four is very dicey. Treatment of women.
Oh, bad.
Oh,
poor.
It's horrible, this movie.
Jurassic Park for sure.
But see, the moment with Sarah, she constantly is just being pushed out of the way in this movie.
Yeah.
She's just standing somewhere and then somebody just comes in.
Confidential guy in taupe is always just like, out of the way, you.
And she's just like, ugh. Like, I feel like you could just like slow it down and her face is just like.
She had that line in the movie where she's like, listen, mister, you better tell us what we're going to do.
And then he just pushed her right out of the screen.
Yeah.
Like, she just wasn't there anymore. And like, every time she talked, she was very like serious and I'm serious. And she always had like a little couple pieces of hair in her face and the rest of it slicked back. But then as soon as she was pushed to the background, she just stopped acting. It was sort of like a sim where they just like stand in place and they like maybe move their arms, but their face this would always go dead. No one was doing background acting.
No, you're right. You're 100%. That's one of the biggest sins of this movie is that people almost step into the spotlight to do their thing.
Yeah, it's like theater. Yeah. Basically, like each person was like walking up to do their monologue and then fading into the background.
How
yeah.
great would this be as like a stage show, like a black box theater show?
I actually think this would work so much better as a stage show.
Yeah.
And like the people where it's like obviously people wearing the dinosaur costumes and you, it's like funny and you get it.
Then yeah, you only need the one set. Right.
Okay, is that a check mark for good, a check mark for bad? I would say that's not a check mark, right?
It's like a who wins.
Mark. It goes to Jurassic Park has for better sure. treatment of women.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, so this doesn't get a check mark.
The next one is disgusting line. And the disgusting line.
This one.
So there was like a guy like humping a desk where he was like, "You gotta eat all the pie," or like whatever the hell he was saying.
What in this one?
No, this original. Is for Carnosaur the original. That's like where this like this comes from in the.
Oh well, your line earlier that you said that our the character of Monk.
Yeah, the I think one is like. I can't fuck my girlfriend when I hear my wife talking.
Yeah, my wife's calling. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's for sure disgusting.
All right. Like, check mark for the disgusting line.
Yeah, there's
line.
Nothing that happens in the Jurassic universe that is at all like that.
Even in that zone. Yeah. Maybe the closest thing being Owen Grady talking about his bunk.
Oh, yeah. We got to. And he does that. That's kind of gross.
So gross.
True.
You could at least relate to one of those things.
It's like, Owen.
Yeah.
Chill out.
Yeah.
The last one on the checklist is scummy teeth. And that for sure goes to Carnosaur and Carnosaur 2.
All the check marks.
Yeah, Carnosaur is always drooling blood, which I think is an interesting choice.
Yeah, it's like, because it's weird that is a thing because reptile, like if they're just going after these as like terrible lizards, like kind of thing, like there's no lizards out there that are just like
yeah, they don't drool. Yeah. Lizards don't drool. I don't feel like they have a lot of saliva.
No.
They're in the desert. They're dry.
And like frogs are slimy, but they don't drool out of their mouths.
On the insides, dry as a bone.
Yeah. I'm a dry frog.
Parched.
And like even birds, like they're not, you know, like birds aren't like,
they're not
you know?
A drippy species.
So I mean,
I really want our listeners I definitely need somebody if you know of a drippy. I mean, I think dogs
are drippy.
Dogs are the slobberiest
Some
creatures.
Cats drool.
Yeah,
and also toddlers.
Oh, toddlers! These carnosaurs are based off of toddlers.
Yeah, this was a very toddler-esque dinosaur, always ripping the heads off of things.
Well, the carnosaur in the end was for sure like such a clumsy
a little baby.
Little,
yeah.
We talked about this while we were watching it, and it mostly just made me feel sad that all these dinosaurs got blown up or like pushed down a pit.
But also, they weren't scary, really.
The dinosaurs weren't scary.
No.
So how are we supposed to be upset at them? That's right. I'm saying. It just made me sad because I was like, well, these poor buddies, like they're trapped in the desert and they're hungry.
Yeah, it was very strange as far as like the way that everything is framed and shot. That the moment it felt very like. It just was like, if these shots were meant to, I don't know what it was supposed to evoke.
Well, they also didn't have interesting people.
Yeah,
it's like,
well,
you haven't made me like any of these people. So why you think because they're humans, I'm automatically going to side with them?
None of the characters were likable except for Stuart from Mad TV flying the helicopter.
Who also stopped acting many times, which didn't make any sense because he's actually seemed more qualified than anyone else to be there.
Yeah.
There's a helicopter scene where they're all sitting in a helicopter at the end. And I feel like someone said, cut, and then used all the material after they said cut.
Yes.
Because they're all just sitting there not acting at all and the helicopter is being shaking them.
Well, I mean, I was going to say about the dinosaurs, like, I don't know what those moments are supposed to evoke, but if you're seeing a dinosaur on the ground helpless and being like, it's like, I don't, like, the only thing we can feel is sympathy in those moments for those creatures.
Absolutely. And like, there's like the climax is like the young boy who's not interesting at all, not a good actor either, and he's just fighting the T-Rex with a forklift.
Yeah.
Well, it's almost, I think, because the original movie has, what are those cat tractors? Like the kind of the more personal
ones? Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
So the hero at the end of the first one is fighting.
Wait, this is a theme?
So at the it's basically the same exact scene, which is why when you were saying, why does the carnosaur look different? It's because they were actually taking shots from the first one and reusing them in that final fight.
Oh,
they're like,
weird.
Basically the tractor is just like a bigger, and it's yellow to evoke the aliens, the thing that Sigourney Weaver, that Ripley was piloting.
Yeah.
It's like meant to evoke that. And then so some of the reverse shots of the Carnosaur were like, basically the same model maquette, like costume creature.
Wow.
So they were just like reusing shots from the first movie.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, there's a lot of that in
this
movie.
It's not funny. The thing is, like, I love bad movies. I love trashy movies, and I've watched 100 more of them probably. Yeah, yeah. But there wasn't anything funny about this movie. Like, when a movie's really bad and it's like funny, it's great, but there wasn't, no lines were inadvertently funny.
Wait, what did I, no, I laughed really hard.
You made several jokes that had nothing to do with this movie that were funny.
But there was like one line where he said something. Oh, he like got on the thing and he was like, you guys just have to, God damn it.
Oh yeah, that was good. That was Brian DeYoung. No wait, what was his name?
Yeah, the Tope.
Cliff DeYoung. That was his Oscar winning moment. He's like, God damn it. You know,
you just have to get out of there. Like some
Was good.
And I laughed very hard.
Yeah.
There was some like the arm ripoff was somewhat funny.
Oh, we gotta talk about the gore. We should talk about the gore.
That was my favorite part, was the body parts flying around.
Yeah. So like whenever the dinosaurs would eat a body part, they would just like
peel it like string cheese.
I'm like zero in on like the destruction of the bodies, like just, you know, eating the arm, and then just like a bunch of like,
one of the raptors ate a woman's tummy.
Oh yeah,
he ate her
tummy.
Yeah.
And, but it's like
tummy.
There's like all that like latex like coming off, like very stretchy, stretchy, bloody,
sort of like in Shaun of the Dead.
Very Shaun of the Dead.
I thought it was very Shaun of the Dead.
Well, if anything, if this movie has in common with Jurassic World, it's where you have a female character who, like, collectively, her death is longer than anything, any line she ever said in the movie up until that point.
Oh, yeah. Like
it's
Nessie.
Like very similar to Zara in Jurassic World, where it's like, because it's interesting, because in these movies, like all the time, you'll see like somebody gets eaten off screen and they get taken away. Like that happens a few times in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
But this movie, they cut away. Like none of the other characters are there with her, and they take the time to show her arm getting ripped off and her tummy ripped open.
I think that's a technical term.
Yeah.
She also was like, her no moans were orgasmic. Yeah. Also, she wasn't like, she wasn't screaming.
Eat me.
Yeah. She kept going like,
eat me, daddy dino, eat me. And you're like, what is this movie?
I was expecting the dinosaur to then like unbutton her blouse and like let her tits free and then be like,
hell yeah.
I mean, that would have been very funny.
I would have, go for it if we're already there.
So my other thing about this movie is that before the dinosaurs appear on screen, there's that little like purring noise, which I swear is just the Dilophosaurus noise when the Dilophosaurus is just sort of like,
They definitely just took a lot of the dinosaur noises from Jurassic Park and just kind of.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
I mean, I think were they like,
able to just, because Carnosaur 1 did not have those.
Well, yeah,
they had their own things.
Well, yeah, because it was made at kind of simultaneously. But
they didn't know that.
What did they sound like in the first Carnosaur?
I think there were some moments in this movie where it's just the like, it's the very like stock King Kong kind of dinosaur sounds.
Just like a madman.
Yeah. I wanted at the end of the movie the dinosaur to come back and be like, Carnosaur 3, see you next fall. Like,
what was it, Primal Instinct?
Sunglasses that it puts on.
Deedly deedly dee. Guitar solo.
Yeah.
All right. Overall, I think this movie, I would never watch it again.
Well, I just want to say it's interesting that we're having this feeling of like, this is supposed to be a fun movie. It's supposed to be, again, for me, it's like, I love Aliens. Like I've grown to prefer the Ridley Scott original.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun schlocky. We got your character. Everyone has the roles. It's like, what about it though made it not like, it almost feels like I wrote it's Aliens at 2 times the speed. It's like simultaneously the slowest movie ever.
Yeah.
And also the fastest movie. It's like they don't take any time. Like
it felt very pointless.
Yes, exactly.
Well, and I think never more pointless than we were watching the end. And like in the original Aliens movie, there's a whole nest of aliens. And so they're like, that's why we have to nuke it from orbit. Like even if we kill a few aliens, like there's still going to be this nest. Mm-hmm. But in this movie, they kill all the dinosaurs. So there's no reason to nuke. There's no reason to blow up the facility.
Well, yeah. but there was a meltdown as a result of the dinosaurs being at the nuclear facility.
Well, yeah. Cause that one dinosaur bit into a pipe and then they're like, no,
they started like messing up all of the equipment, but then eventually they kill all of the employees.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. Cause the meltdown is because nobody's there to maintain the equipment. Okay. Well, I think, I mean, that, well, yes, that actually, I mean, I think that's great that they actually did have a reason, because, but it feels so hollow when you see all the hallways that are empty blowing up. Like, at least in Aliens, it's like you see the nest being like consumed and you're like, oh, great, we did a great thing. We saved this. But it's like,
well, as far as we know, so it's like all the dinosaurs were born. And if there was a nest, the nest only existed at the facility.
But they don't show it, so it feels pointless.
But the difference, too, is that, like, aliens are something that's something else out there in the universe, an outside force coming to...
Especially the universe.
It's coming to get us. It's the other, the evil. But again, this is a Jurassic Park storyline where it's like, oh, we created these.
Yeah, they're
we brought them back. So it's like, I don't want to vote for the humans that did the thing. They brought them into our world and now they're gonna kill them. Like, fuck y'all, you deserve to die.
Yeah, well, it's no, I think that's ultimately symptomatic of our Paul Reiser guy, where it's like when he finally tells the reason for these mercs, these you know, these brainless, boneheaded, like generic, like it's so generic. They just have a lightning bolt. It's like, oh, it's the lightning bolt branch of the government. Like,
oh, what, yeah. You know? There's no, not even any initials on anything cool, that they're wearing.
Yeah. There's not
were
a cool acronym.
Or were they like a, they were like a Blackwater kind of
something
like
that. That's what I thought.
Like, you came here for a cleanup job.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But yeah,
but it's who hired them?
But it's like they're just lightning bolt. Like, they didn't even take the time to think of anything specific.
No.
But I think
no patches.
Yeah. But I think it's because we were saying it's like, OK, so it is reasonable for our Cliff DeYoung, for our Paul Reiser guy to be like, yeah, don't blow up the nuclear facility. But the only reason why they got so deep is because he refused to tell them anything. Like, if he had just said, hey, guys, just so you know, there's nukes down there, so let's just not blow up anything. Yeah, let's be careful, you know?
Which is just so true of, like, human relationships. If you don't communicate,
you won't know where the nukes are.
Right.
That's what we're saying. Thank you, Brenna. Thank you for bringing this up.
You know what? I was too stupid to understand how deep and interesting this movie was.
Okay, what to me...
See, now you're a connoisseur. Our connoisseur.
Okay, because again, this movie is so
terrible.
They're all synonyms. They're all like interchangeable. You know, great, terrible, whatever.
Yeah, it's like one. Yeah, the universe is beginning and ending at the same time.
It's the universe.
The universe.
But this movie.
He's going through a universe.
he's never been the same since. he had to leave early. His daughter's getting a universe. Ham's not even here to see me. Okay, he had to leave early. sorry, no, I'm just saying lines from Jurassic Park.
Now Stephen will recite Jurassic Park.
He just went into a coma where he's just saying Jurassic Park.
Because that's
Jurassic
more Park, interesting.
Except instead of divorce, is using the word universe.
Because that's more interesting than talking about this movie, Carnosaur 2. No, I was going to say, this movie is so generic and by the numbers, which is why it's not even fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what's going to happen so much that every time somebody entered a room, one of us said, there's a dinosaur in there, and then there was.
Yeah. Well, to the point where the helicopter scene, to me, is the biggest funny what the fuck moment.
Oh, yeah.
Because in these movies, it's like the helicopter pilot runs and then puts their hand on the door and they're like, oh, and they see claw marks or a blood stain or stickiness.
Yeah.
But it's like... the way that the movie's set up, it's like there's no way that this dinosaur would be in the... Like, it's just...
Doesn't make sense.
It's and because they had been deep underground moments before, so
yeah,
it's...
Yeah, like, how'd that dinosaur even fucking get outside?
It's just such a...
Not only did it get outside, but it saw the helicopter across the field and was like, I'm gonna go hide in the back seat in case someone
little
comes
hide and
in
seek
here.
Action. Like, it's just such
a... Dilophosaurus.
It's such a
Goofosaurus.
the leaps in believability. We're having fun. We're down to clown. That's why we're here. We're down to clown.
Yeah, we're having fun because we're with each other.
I mean, some of us are dedicated enough to the cause.
Oh, no. The best part about this movie was the pizza that we ordered.
We got a delicious pizza.
Shout out to Cruiser's Pizza.
Cruiser's really good. 100%
vegan Hawaiian pizza.
Yes.
Let's review that pizza for the next 20 minutes.
But to me, that's the biggest, like, what the fuck.
See pizza right.
Because it's just so... that to me was like the funniest moment, because it's just, it's so ridiculous that we, that it, it's like this movie is so generic and has to go by the numbers that things just happen because they have to, despite what anything
came
before.
Yeah, they just have to move the action forward, but also there wasn't any action. Like, it's weird that dinosaur attacks can be boring.
Well, yeah.
This movie, I feel like, was not about dinosaurs at all.
No, I mean, it really does take a long time before we get to the dinosaurs.
It wasn't about.
This is an 80 minute movie, and it's like 45 minutes before we see a dinosaur.
Absolutely. It wasn't even about anything. Yeah. I don't know what this movie is about.
Look, it's kind of, it fits in that. I feel like there are probably 500 movies that are mostly aired originally on the Sci-Fi Channel in the early 2000s or the late 90s. Mm-hmm. And they either replace aliens, dinosaurs, or insert your miscellaneous
creature,
spooky, creature featurey thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just people in generic mercenary outfits in one warehouse, quickly being picked off, all having rather interchangeable personalities with like maybe one actual relationship, like in this case it being like the boy who was looking for a father figure and then the father figure who was looking for a boy.
I feel like our lead, our John Jack or whatever the fuck his name is,
John Donald Jack alcoholic boy
Kurt Russell wannabe.
Donald Lidecker from the 2000 series Dark Angel
directed by James Cameron.
John Savage
suggested by James Cameron, perhaps.
He was the one looking,
he knew it was there making it.
No, he was there looking for a son. I like what you, it was
my
just
son.
Like, it's just like son? this kid is like going through whatever, but then it's like, you want to play ball, son? Like, it's just like sitting in the empty hallway. Like, he just was so desperate to like,
yeah, like he wanted
my children died, you know?
It's the only emotional heart was this like little, this not little, like 15 year old cool boy with floppy hair whose uncle just got killed and his parents were already dead. And then, yeah, alcoholic, Dark Angel, Kurt Russell knockoff.
Thank you. Yeah.
And he not going to leave you on the cold again.
With sorrow.
Papa Sorrow?
Hot with sorrow.
Oh.
Papa Sorrow. I like that.
Papa Sorrow. Pop. That sounds like a Disney villain, doesn't
Papa
it?
Sorrow.
Yeah.
He has like ghouls, everybody.
From Inside Out.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he definitely has a song. He's like, my name is Papa Sorrow. Dum, dum, dum,
dum, dum, dum. Like, it's like, you know, there's maybe some like marimba with like some bones being played on, you know?
I'm
Papa Sorrow.
We're writing that after this.
Yeah, we're,
I forgot I wasn't holding a microphone when I said from Inside Out.
But yeah, it was just like him being like, I really miss having a boy. And then the boy being like, I really miss having a dad.
Yeah.
So you thought by the end, like it was going to end with the two of them, him being like, I want to adopt you. Like that would have been following the like fake sort of emotional arc that they had created. But then it just ends with the guy lightly, no homo, tapping him on the knee and saying, you're okay. And everything's okay.
It ends just like Jurassic Park.
In a helicopter.
They're in a helicopter. Mm-hmm. Is that also how Jurassic World 3 ends?
Oh,
Jurassic Park 3 ends in a helicopter.
Sorry, Jurassic Park 3. Jurassic World 3. Whoa, maybe I'm foreshadowing.
We were just on set.
It also ends with a child using their computer skills to help everyone.
That's right, where he's like, I've hacked systems like this before.
The other thing about this movie is it's just people saying, optimize the Scantron computer settings, go
the Scantron
now.
Test.
What the hell happened here?
Yeah, it was just like a lot of like technical jargon that meant nothing repeated.
Run the statistics.
You know what it was? It was like,
run the statistics.
The schematics? He said schematics
the
like
system
three
is
times.
Down.
Can you what the fuck are schematics?
The system is down. The system is down.
And you know how serious someone is about their tech use when they are typing with one hand on a keyboard sideways.
Yeah.
Moses at one point. It was just sort of like miscellaneous, like click, clack, 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 click.
Oh, there were a lot of blinking lights happening in the control room, which very important that there was a control room.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank God.
Well, yeah,
that's
it's
the best.
But that's
the computer
illusion.
Just kept showing
never
one
had
graph.
Control.
Yeah, it was the same graph.
I didn't understand what graph we were looking at and why we needed to keep seeing it.
It almost looked like a mix of the Death Star plans from A New Hope and then the actual schematics and aliens when they're like showing all the hallways and stuff. And like Bill Paxton is like, I don't understand. Actually, Bill Paxton. Yeah.
Yep.
R.I.P.
Rest in Paxton.
Rest in
Paxton. Is he dead?
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
He died
yes.
a few like years ago.
I'm sorry,
don't
Chris.
You remember that year I wore black?
You mean this one?
And that's where the podcast ends. That was a great... No, I'm kidding.
That's been all...
Do you think that the Carnosaurs were homeschooled? Because, like, that was their home and they just had to learn on the
Jurassic
streets.
Park dinosaurs would make fun of the Carnosaur dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and they're like, my mom made my clothes.
Oh, you know, somebody needs to do the meme of, like, Lisa Simpson dressed as Florida.
Yeah.
I'm a monster.
He's like, you won because we can tell that your parents did not help you.
Yeah.
But I think that, I mean.
Yeah, Chris, what are your, give me the, because, yeah, I feel like the idea is that we all wanted this to be a more fun movie than it ended up being.
It was fun because we were together.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't expect it itself to be any different than it was. No, I think that. No.
I went in with really high hopes, I think.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, well, I think I did too, actually, because of seeing Carnosaur at the OG.
Yeah.
Because
I mean,
you thought it was going to be everybody in the club getting Tiptree, and yeah. It was not.
It's yeah, I think.
So shout out to Carnosaur 1.
Well, I think, to your point, at least Carnosaur had the interesting angle. It had like the playing with God and science. It kind of had some of those, you know, kind of, it had the B movie version of Jurassic Park, whereas this movie was just Mercs getting eaten mm-hmm. by dinosaurs. There was no flip side to like, what does this all mean? Why are we doing it? You know what I mean? There was no like through
line.
Yeah,
and everyone was kind of a dick.
Yeah, everyone was a dick. There was no point.
Well, also, if those dinosaurs got out, what are four dinosaurs going to do? You know?
And they snakes. Said that it was desert for 80 miles. They would have burned alive.
That would be the movie of like the dinosaur.
There's no water.
Just like they just, somebody finds dinosaur bones. Like, wow, these dinosaur bones look really new. You know, like Alan Grant's like out digging in Snake Water, Montana. And he's just like, wow, there's still flesh on these bones. I'm going to be rich. He's like this paleontologist who discovered 5-year-old dinosaur bones.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I
also hate the colors in this movie. Like, this is not, it doesn't look good. It's really bland. It's just beige the entire time.
Well, I think we Brenda and I threw on Carnosaur the other day, and I think they're
sure did.
Carnosaur has a very
refresher,
like ominous and dark.
Ominous. I was gonna throw Peter Greenaway. Carnosaur has a very like Peter Greenaway, like very high contrast lighting. You look like you're like in a weird 80s art exhibit. It's like kind of creepy because
every room you walk into, there's a spotlight on you.
Yeah.
But there's darkness all around otherwise.
With like high contrast, like pinks and reds and blues.
Yeah. Well, my dad worked with Peter Greenaway.
Oh, really?
No, I would never say that. He's a teacher.
He taught Peter Greenaway everything he knows.
Everything he knows. Let's go to Universal Studios and tell everybody about it.
Yeah.
Let's go just go lurk in the Mummy single rider line. Couldn't help but interrupt this conversation.
They were talking about corn dogs.
My dad invented the corn dog.
Hell yeah.
No way.
Oh my God, that's amazing. But this movie is just, it's funny because I feel like when we first started watching, we're like, this movie looks better than Carnosaur, but it...
Quality-wise, it looks very like so much further in the future than original Carnosaur.
No, but I mean, but... Oh, I thought you were saying like sets and like the quality of the actual like filmmaking.
Like the production value is stronger.
I think that too. Like, I know, I just feel like even, the production value is stronger.
But
perhaps
the writing suffered.
The what?
But the writing suffered.
Oh, yeah, the writing.
The writing, the dialogue is horrible.
Well, it's just nothing.
Yeah, what?
It's just nothing. It's just, everyone's just saying, it's like very perfunctory. Like, like
you're
saying.
The same in the first one?
No one is communicating. Everyone's just like saying things out loud.
Yeah, no one's interacting with each other. Exactly. It's just like throwaway lines. Oh, no. The schematics. Come on, guys.
This is bullshit.
No one's having a conversation.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's why Cliff DeYoung's like, God damn it. Like, it felt like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm feeling something in this moment. It's good.
Yeah.
There was no suspense.
But I would say that, you know, as far as like, again, like the B movie goes, I feel like the original it went for the fences a little bit more. There's a woman giving birth to a dinosaur in the first movie.
Yeah, I like Carnosaur. Cool. I like Carnosaur, like the original, like the sci-fi aspects. Now I respect a lot more. I'm like, oh, they were like really like doing something that was like
that's
out
like
there.
Edgy though. Yeah, a person giving birth to a dinosaur. I love that. Yeah. Like this didn't take, there were no risks in this movie.
Well, you know what it is, and it's probably the problem with a lot of the, it's probably the same problem a lot of the Jurassic Park sequels deal with, is that the first movie, it's like you get to play with all the notions of creating the dinosaurs, but now that you've made them, it's like, all right, well, we don't need, in this Carnosaur 2, it's like we don't need to explain how the dinosaurs got there. So now it's just dinosaurs just eating random people we don't care about.
Right, and pipes.
Lots of pipes. They were chewing on so many pipes.
Yeah. Like dinosaurs, they just made them so dumb. Like this one's eating metal.
Yeah, and like you were saying, it feels, it's the hangar in Jurassic Park? The bunker.
Oh, the bunker, yeah.
It's just Ellie in the bunker for an entire movie.
The whole movie is just the like, bunker where Sam Jackson, where Ray Arnold gets eaten and gets his...
And that part's great. That part is so suspenseful. Yeah.
Right. But there's like a lot of these like raptor type creatures like... Heading against chain link fence.
Yeah, like just, they're heading their heads against things.
They're butting everything like kittens.
Yeah.
That part.
In a trapped, enclosed facility with like some amount of electricity.
All right, where do we go from here?
I mean, to be honest, there's not that much to talk about with this movie.
Well, I think we went over it.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I mean, we definitely probably spent more time talking about this movie than anybody else has.
Ever on the planet.
Yeah, ever. I mean, really. Probably more time. I'm trying to think what else is interesting. Like, I'm trying to think. I mean,
I don't think there is anything interesting about it.
I think that what I'll say, another thought perhaps to share is my, of the Jurassic sequels, the ones I don't necessarily prefer are the ones that are like so... men with guns focused.
Agreed.
Like, yes. It's like, this is all about InGen. And yeah. It's Lost World and Fallen Kingdom. And like, obviously I've rewatched all those movies a million times, but it's like, those are the two where I'm just like, this feels a little too just like gun glory.
Yeah.
And I think that these are just like, what if you did only that?
Yeah.
And it was just like, rather than having any kind of character that you connect with and then InGen as a side thing, it was just InGen.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
In this, they don't have a mission. They don't have a purpose. They don't have a really clear... reason like, to even be the people on the mission.
We don't even know what the first ops team is like going there for, mm-hmm. other than they're like, this is a cleanup job, but like we don't understand.
Well, and they don't necessarily create a mystery around that because we know why they're there. Mm-hmm. It's because the dinosaurs are there.
Well,
but
yes.
Even an hour into the movie, they're still the Paul Reiser guy still being like, this is classified. It's like,
yeah,
that stuff should be over 15 minutes.
Exactly.
Into the movie.
No, it's a bad improv scene where nobody knows who each other are to each other, where they are, and why anything's happening.
That totally is a perfect description of the whole film.
It's a 101 improv class show.
Mm-hmm. We're like, it's a shrug and, you know?
Where everyone keeps denying each other's realities, where it's like, we're a black ops team. No, we're the classified. No, it's dinosaurs underground.
No, it's aliens. Yeah. Well, I like how Brenna's just getting up in the middle of the podcast.
Brenna's leaving because she hates this.
She's over this. I want to ask because, again, I don't... Yeah, I mean, the movie really... It's almost a little bit of a problem with Jurassic Park 3, if only in the sense that the movie doesn't have like a larger... Or it doesn't spend the time to have kind of a larger philosophical point, mm-hmm. although this is even like that times 11.
Right,
they're really like, at least there's the like astronomers and astronauts scene. We've got Eric talking to Grant in the bunker, you know, oh, I liked your book better when you like dinosaurs. Do you have kind of these meaningful moments?
Yeah.
How, you know, is this how you make a dinosaur? No, this is how you play God. Like this movie had none of the kind of... I'm not saying we need to have like 10 minutes of somebody proselytizing like man and science, but it's like spend a couple minutes, you know?
Yeah.
No, I mean, literally any kind of plot is good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going to say,
these kind of movies get made. It's so insane. Like whenever I watch something like this, that's like clearly even had something that like, would you say it was 850,000?
No, that was the original. I doubt this movie had more than 800. This movie, I realized that they don't show the budget anywhere.
Yeah. Cause I watched this and I'm like,
got it.
How do I have actor friends having trouble getting work when Carnosaur 2 through 5 exists.
Well, it's because it's almost like these movies are just tax write-offs, you know, solely why they exist.
Right.
But look at the back of the box. Where is that? There's a shot at the back of this box. Where is that movie?
Yeah, there's a T-Rex holding like a sexy woman.
A totally hot babe in the mouth of a T-Rex.
And they also use that picture on the spine of the DVD. And it's not, it doesn't happen.
That looks like a sexy dinosaur horror movie.
Because no, it feels like that's movie. like B movie. Like that's like, I feel like probably 70s Roger Corman maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Something like, yeah. Like,
but this isn't like a B movie. It's just kind of like a meh movie.
It's a made for video, straight to video movie.
Yeah, I couldn't find what channel or if it just went straight to VHS or.
Ooh, it did win the Golden Scroll Award. And it has two slogans or two taglines. Back for another bite. And extinction is a thing of the past.
Wait, I like both of those taglines.
Those are fun taglines.
Yeah. Wait, I think the best part about this movie is the box.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even
agree.
It's so weird that that image of the lady and the dinosaur's teeth is featured twice on this box.
I'll post the image on social media, but
it looks like a photo op that if you were going to the opening night,
this is at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
Yes, absolutely.
Pose with the model of the Carnosaur. Well, and also, and I'm not going to put this person on blast because somebody tagged this film critic on my Instagram, but somebody said at the time Carnosaur 2 is the film Jurassic Park should have been.
That's I'm not gonna put them on blast because I feel like that's sarcasm, right?
I think it was. I definitely do. I think,
or that person said that drunk at a party and that happened to get passed along.
Hey Roger Carnosaur 2 is what Jurassic Park should have been.
And he was like, up.
And then just pukes in Roger Corman's lap.
On his shoes.
Yeah. Roger Corman's like, thank God I have this tape recorder playing in my pocket at all times.
Quote.
Yes, I mean.
So you own this movie, Steven?
I paid $24.95
forever and ever. We're going to watch it again.
We have to watch it at least a few times to make it worth it. Yeah. But
I think it looks good on a shelf. Like I said, the box art's incredible.
No, it's fun. The box is fun. But I will say,
got a great box. It's worth the $24.99 alone. The movie is just kind of like an extra.
Just think of it as like a portrait.
The CD is a frisbee.
Yeah.
If you could change, I think we'll wrap up. If you could change one thing about this movie that to you would make it more fun, not a better movie, but a more fun movie, what would you change to make it more fun?
All women, no men. It takes place in a mall.
Yes, in a mall. Ooh. I was gonna say, like, if the women were like the stronger. So,
ooh, Carnosaur 2, Neon Knights.
Neon Knights.
And the logo has like the like shoom,
yeah. Carnosaur 2, they maul them all.
Yes.
M-A-U-L.
Thank you.
That would be great. And if there were like civilian casualty possibilities,
yes.
I think that's what would make it suspenseful.
Yeah, like that's what I love about Jurassic World.
Yes.
Is when it's just a bunch of people running out of the theme park,
yeah,
and they're
just
like,
pure chaos.
Yeah, I love chaos. And there was no they wanted us to feel chaotic, but
there was no chaos.
It was all very
mm-hmm. contained.
There were a bunch of sparks, but we couldn't tell why or where anything was coming from.
Yeah.
But
that's similar to what my answer was going to be. Like, if the two women in the film were like, fucking listen to us, you little bitches. Like really just demeaning the men.
A woman would have kicked the main guy into the dinosaur's mouth at one point. That would have been cool as
hell.
Yeah,
that would have been cool.
I would have even liked if that picture on the back of the box was real. If for no reason at all, just a hot woman walked in.
Yeah, she's like, is this the Ritz-Carlton?
No.
Or just like picked her up.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh no, I'm too hot for this.
Yeah. Is this am I in Palm Springs? I'm not.
Those buttons look very loose. Oh yeah, she's at the thing that you took a picture at that we wanted to go to.
Oh, the Carbonzo dinosaur.
Carbazon dinosaur.
The Carbonzo bean, of course.
The thing that we talked about too on the way out to Vegas.
The Pee-wee's Big Adventure dinosaur.
Yeah, yeah. It's like she's just looking for that. That's where her photo op came from.
That's exactly
she's
what
like,
that
hey,
is.
Can I get a photo? But no, because I would, because even that would be more fun because our Paul Reiser type betrays our heroes, literally hits them with pipes and tries to get them eaten by the dinosaurs, and then they're all fine and working together like 5 minutes later, and you're like,
yeah, you just tried to choke that guy to death, and now you're like, wait, I'm gonna save your life.
Yeah, so I like this.
Kick them all into the mouths of the dinosaurs, and then women inherit the earth.
That's right.
Force Sparta.
How do you think it would be better?
More fun.
How would you fix this
more
movie?
More fun.
More fun. That's true. Better is many days of work.
The Nessie character is the main character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nessie is Sarah Rollins.
Yeah.
And we didn't mention it in the podcast, but it's, oh, because
she's the long hair girl.
Well, yeah. When Cliff DeYoung says like, we brought dinosaurs back or whatever, like it's like the camera's just there. It's like, there's no drama to it. Mm-mm. And then our Ian Malcolm ripoff is like, if they're dinosaurs, then I'm Sasquatch. And then she's like,
he's the Loch Ness monster.
And she's like, call me Nessie or something like that.
And because we don't know anyone's real name, we just called her Nessie for the rest of the film.
Yeah. And so, it was one of the main things that stood out to me, because I was like, I like the Loch Ness monster. I wonder if it's real. It's not. Oh.
And then the movie was over.
Chris, wake up. And I was like, I'm up. Nessie. Yeah. She's Nessie. I remember that. So she would be the main character. I think it would be a little bit more like the beginning of Alien versus Predator, but not the rest, because the rest of it's terrible. Mm. But in terms of like, there's like a rather intriguing initial descent into the underground, that feels a little alarming. And then it becomes like the descent. Do you guys remember the descent?
Oh yeah,
the descent's great.
Yeah.
And it is just like, okay, we're going into this underground facility as a rescue mission to try to save this person's child or whatever. And then they get caught up in some more kind of essentially what it feels like it thinks it was.
Like psychological trapped in the ground.
Yes, exactly. And then it, you know, whittles it down to, you know, the two or three characters that you care about. You know, maybe a little bit of like some Deep Blue Sea vibes to it in terms of...
Deep Blue Sea is bad, but that's also really fun.
But that was a fun... Exactly. Yeah, memorable. And it's suspenseful and scary.
Yeah. That's how you do a bad movie, right? Mm-hmm. You know,
right? And you get, and you know, you make sure that LL Cool J's in it to do a credit roll rap song.
Deepest, bluest, my head is like a shark's fin.
Deepest, bluest, my head is like a shark's fin.
Because this was like post Men in Black, so they had to have like a fun song.
Right, a rap song that wraps up what you just saw.
Well, see, that was
the Addams Family.
That was the divide between
the new one? No,
the old one.
The new one has a very good song.
Is it a rap song
with Migos? Oh yeah, I've listened to it several times.
I can't believe it's not even out yet.
Oh, but it's popping up on my
single.
Wow,
oh, it's
already
good
on your like Luna's playlist.
And we were listening to like a children's Halloween playlist, and it popped up, and I was like, "What's this?" And I was very into it.
Wait, but you don't remember the original Addams Family?
I think I do.
Do what they want to do, say what they want to say. Addams Family,
I do. So the new one has one too. I'm so happy to report to you.
Okay, I'm excited for the
early sneak peek at Addams Family, everybody. Although this will come out Halloween, basically. It'll probably be out by then.
Late take.
Sorry, guys.
Late.
You're like, I heard it before the movie came out.
Well, I'm not trying to have a hot take. It just came on and I liked it. That's all. Yeah,
that's true. That's fair.
this movie needed a rap song.
It did.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's, you know, that's the thing. It's like, if you're gonna, like, this movie doesn't have the budget to have fun with, like, the credits and anything. It's just perfunctory. Yeah.
The only song in the movie is,
Kill the Wabbit.
The Orbison thing? Oh.
No,
the Ride of the Valkyries.
Kill the Wabbit.
Yeah, they do it twice.
Kill the Wabbit.
I was going to say, this movie doesn't even have like a fun ending. Like, you know, it doesn't like cut to like an egg like underneath rubble and then like the egg hatching.
There's no like foreshadowing for like a...
No.
Is a Carnosaur 3.
Yes. But there's no... They don't like...
Which looks like a remake
open the possibility.
Yeah, we watched the trailer for Carnosaur 3, and it was basically just like... footage from Carnosaur 2 and 1 just combined.
And then everybody was dressed like a marine.
Like Starship Troopers. But
Starship Troopers, yeah. But it was called
Carnosaur 3, Primal Species.
It's almost like, you know how the beginning of Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness recap Evil Dead 1 at the beginning, but the circumstances and who Ash's girlfriend is like slightly different each time, but like sort of the same story? That's what all the Carnosaur sequels are, except rather than it being like
the
summary in the first 3 minutes of the movie, it's just the whole movie.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I like everyone's kind of teasing out these certain elements. I almost think, again, you know, the line, what was it? They got nukes here and dinosaurs. Like, why do you have the two there if you're not going to do something fun with that concept? Mm-hmm. So have this movie just be the first 15 minutes. The nukes go off. This team failed to rescue. The nukes affect the dinosaurs and they go radioactive.
And they're even bigger and crazier.
And they get big and they terrorize a city. Huge. And like,
that would be awesome.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yes. Make the stakes mean something. If a
That's
desert...
That's how you would remake it.
We used to test nuclear missiles and stuff out in the desert all the time. That's why all the people on that racist John Wayne movie got cancer, where he was Genghis Khan.
Oh, wow. Oh,
I don't remember the name of this movie, but everyone who got, because they filmed the movie out where they used to do the nuclear testing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, everyone got cancer who worked on that movie because it was where they did nuclear testing.
That's very sad.
But it just feels like when they say there's nothing around here for Miles, it just feels like this movie like meant nothing. It almost is like
nothing for Miles, the tour guide. Hashtag Miles, the tour guide. Universal Studios.
Well, it almost felt like the end of Burn After Reading, the Coen Brothers. Like, what did we learn here? I don't know.
Yeah,
you know, like it just is like,
but not
pointless.
Yeah, didn't realize that's what it was.
No,
doing.
Yeah, yeah. That's
no self awareness.
Yeah, if you tacked that on the end of Burn After Reading, well. Uh-oh, somebody, the carnivores are here.
That's Roger Corman busting down your door.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, look, we lived, we loved, we learned.
Yeah, I'm glad it brought us together.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that we had a good pizza.
I will watch every terrible movie that has anything to do with a dinosaur slightly.
Yeah,
if
no,
it involves
I
getting
love dinosaurs.
To sit here with these microphones and forever capture our thoughts about them.
I'm glad we saw it once.
They live on
yes,
through us.
You know what this movie would be good for too?
What?
Putting on the background at a party with
yeah,
cool music.
I agree.
It.
Or if it were on at like a bar, that would be like a good place to not like to like look up and be like, what the hell is this? And then just like occasionally be like, why is the dinosaur ripping off the arm of this person?
Oh, like, but it's just so few and far between in the I don't know, the colors are so bad. I feel like it doesn't even look good in the background.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, that's just my
Well, we'll do a video, like they have video synthesizers now where it's like people can play notes and it like affects like the RGB levels and things.
Oh, that's neat. You know what I think it needs is an edit of just the dinosaurs killing, because that's the coolest part.
I think
so. Like a 10-minute edit of all the body parts getting ripped off would be cool.
Anybody out there who has some creative editing skills, please get on that.
Yeah, that's the best part of the movie. Yep. And then it can be called Carnosaur 4 Dead.
Dead meat.
Dead
meat.
Well, thanks everyone for joining. If you've watched us, let us know if you enjoyed it more than we did. I mean, I'm glad I saw it. And the box is pretty cool.
Yes.
So
thank goodness that we all got to be in the presence of this beautiful box.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this delicious pizza. Again, shout out to Cruiser's Pizza in Los Angeles,
100%
California.
100% vegan pizza.
Where can people find you, Lisa?
You can find me at LTB Comedy on Twitter and on Instagram.
And I'm Brenna. You can find me at Beeksels and at Bonnie Puns on Twitter. Wait, at Beeksels on Instagram, at Bonnie Puns on Twitter.
And Chris.
Hey, you can find me at Amontioc on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Amontioc.
Yeah, thanks everyone. You can find me at Steve Ray Morris. Again, it's been a while since we've done a creature feature, but if you really want these, it's just definitely fun to sit around and watch a bad movie regardless, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But let us know I know I've got a lot of great suggestions. I want to keep doing more. Let us know how your Halloween was. I wonder if anybody got some cool dinosaur, like did you go to a haunted house and maybe you made your costume like drippy scummy
if you got a scummy Halloween costume.
Yeah, some dinosaur costumes or dinosaur candy.
Yeah I'm gonna check the hashtag scummy dinosaurs like after Halloween and see if anybody has it.
Scummy
hashtag.
Dinosaurs is a good punk rock
scummy dinosaurs,
band
yeah.
name I think
yeah for sure yeah.
Scummy dinos,
heck yeah, awesome. Well, I'm going to read this line again. They got nukes here and dinosaurs, but this shit ain't perfect. But until next time, I'll see you later. Hello, hello, hello. Luce, can I get some ones and twos from you?
Hello, out there in Radioland. It's your co-host, Luce Tommenbrenner, coming to you live from Steven's living room.
This summer, Carnosaur 3, Primal Species.
That's so good!
Primal Species.
This summer.
I can't. You have the range.
This summer, coming to you live from Steven's living room, it's Carnosaur 3.
Primal Species.
Primal Species.
Let's see, you're doing more like, I feel like that's late 90s where it's like, like Michael Bay style.
Yeah, mine's more like 92.3 Extreme Radio.
Coming this summer, hello. Jurassic Park, Amber is Wild.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.